CD Projekt Red got hit with a ransomware attack, and the hacked data has been sold to a third party. Plus, the developers canceled their Stadia port because Google canceled their account. Tonight is February 14th, 2021, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters.
I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it.
Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say?
And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I'm still getting used to all the new buttons that I have. And Orange Wright says, now we no longer have to thank Skype. That's right, because Discord's working really well for us when we do use it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 747, not about airplanes, but episode 747 of The Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on February 14th, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. If not, I completely understand. It is Valentine's Day, the Hallmark holiday. So if you celebrate it and you're celebrating it tonight, I completely understand. Thank you so much for being on the podcast feed with us. But we tape the show live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And I try to read intelligent comments from throughout the night here on the show. But if not, I completely understand. Like I said, it is sometimes a special night for at times. You can go over to our Discord anytime during the week, vognetwork.com/discord. You can participate in our text chat channels over there. Not that much traffic. You're not going to get too much. You're not going to get left behind or anything. We've got a nice, small, close-knit, well-behaved community, which I'm very proud of. And you can join us there and talk about the show throughout the week. And also, we do have a shop. We haven't put anything new up on the shop, but you can still buy stuff over at vognetwork.com/shop. I have not been plugging that all that much because we don't need to really plug it. But if you want Voice of Geeks Network merch, we have some there. Dark Law says, I'm sure there's some Valentine's Day games out there. I'm sure there are games all about love and stuff out there. However, I know that not everybody is able to spend it with someone, either because they don't have someone or because of distance, because of what's going on in the world. So that's why I'm not really going to harp on it. But happy Valentine's Day to you, those of you who do have a reason to celebrate it. And if not, happy February 14th. It's Sunday night. Let's talk some video game stuff tonight. How about that? Because there's some big things that happened this week. So the first one that I want to talk about is because I've been talking about Google Stadia for a while. And because I am a founder and I am actually still paying $9.99 a month for it. Go me. But there were like four new games dropped for Stadia Pro subscribers this week. So I have like 50 games I can play over Stadia if I really wanted to. Now, this is kind of an interesting story because it also shows how reliant upon a single company we are and how we really do need the government to go in and break up some of these larger companies. And this is something that I've worried about with Facebook and Oculus for the same reason, except this is worse. This is Google. And you don't probably realize how much Google you have in your life. And apparently, if you do something at any part of Google, you lose access to everything else, which could also mean you lose your email, you lose your phone, you lose all your photos. You lose a whole bunch of stuff that you may have spent thousands of dollars buying. Like, you lose all your marketplace stuff. Like, if you bought music on Google Music, that's gone and stuff. And so it's really scary. And it's actually happened to somebody who's high profile, which means it's probably going to get fixed for him. But only because of who he is and because of the announcement that he's made. And I'm actually talking about the game Terraria, which can run on old computers now, right now. So you don't need it to run on Stadia, but there was going to be a port of Terraria for Google Stadia. Spoiler, there's not anymore. Ars Technica reports that Google is in hot water after banning the Google account of Andrew Spinks, the lead developer of the hit indie game Terraria. The YouTube account of Spinks' game dev company, Relogic, was hit with some kind of terms of service violation, resulting in Google banning Spinks' entire Google account, greatly disrupting his company's ability to do business. After three fruitless weeks of trying to get the situation fixed, Spinks announced that his company will no longer do business with Google and that the upcoming Stadia version of Terraria is canceled. He said, quote, "I will not be involved with a corporation that values their customers and partners so little," unquote. And he says, "doing business with you is a liability." So 3 weeks ago, the official Terraria Twitter account publicly pleaded with YouTube for some kind of resolution with their recent Google account ban. The Terraria account explained, quote, "We have not added anything new to our only YouTube channel, Relogic Games, in several months. However, we randomly received an email saying there was a TOS violation, but that it was likely accidental, and as such, the account would receive no strikes." 3 days later, the entire Google account, YouTube, Gmail, all Google apps, even every purchase made over 15 years on the Google Play Store was disabled with no warning or recourse. The account links many into many business functions, and as such, the impact to us is quite substantial, unquote. So this is one of the main frustration points of a Google account ban. Is you immediately lose access to your Gmail account, which probably has the email that explains what the terms of service violation is. So you can't even figure out what happened or look at any communication because you can't reach your email. They don't let you log in. Relogic's YouTube channel, which is still up with a disabled profile picture, appears to be nothing but trailers of the company's games. Spink says that his entire Google account has been down for 3 weeks now, and Google has done nothing but give the runaround. So after the tweet from the official Terraria account, YouTube support declined Relogic's request to try to solve the problem privately, choosing instead to publicly offer irrelevant suggestions to the game developer with over 30 million customers. So first, YouTube asked if Relogic could please access its banned email account, which the developer had already explained was banned. Then YouTube suggested trying Google's account recovery system, which is only for users who forgot their password. And finally, YouTube shared instructions on how to recover a voluntarily deleted Google account, which is in no way relevant to an account ban. Then he made the big announcement. He says, quote, "I absolutely have not done anything to violate your terms of service, so I can take this no other way than to deciding to burn this bridge. Consider it burned. Terraria for Google Stadia is canceled. My company will no longer support any of your platform moving forward," unquote. So Google is notorious for how it handles issues on like Google Play and YouTube, where every rule violation feels like it's handled by a bot. Like, you don't get to speak to a real person. You can't even get rid of a human person. You just can't. Google wants people to build a business on top of its platforms, but with the lack of this common sense dispute resolution is, as Spinks put it, a liability. So Google makes billions of dollars per year on both of those services. Google uses a single account system across nearly all of its products. On one hand, this makes it easy for users of one Google service to try other Google services, but it also leads to ridiculously disproportionate punishments if a user gets hit with an account ban. A YouTube copyright claim, Google Pay transaction dispute, or a TOS violation can lead to your entire online life being taken down. If you're all in on the Google ecosystem, a Google account ban means you lose access to your entire email account, all the pictures you've ever taken, your cell phone service, if you have Google Fi, your ability to communicate with friends and family, all your two-factor authentication accounts, anything that uses Google OAuth, your app development business, your YouTube business, and all your followers, all your purchased apps, games, movies, music, and books, all your contacts, documents, bookmarks, and notes. All of that is handled in one account. Questbuster says, "You are no longer a member of the Google Republic citizen. And this is why I prefer multiple accounts." It's making me rethink a little bit. For many people, a Google account ban is an online death sentence, and it's also a punishment doled out without much recourse to the victim. How would you even begin to dispute a Google account ban when the first thing that happens is your Gmail stops working? If you happen to be a famous indie developer with a hit game in development for Google streaming service, publicly canceling your game on Twitter is probably the only way you can get your game heard. Or your voice heard. Fifth Dream says you can still search, so it's fine. They'll still track your ads. And they'll still track you across the internet and give you relevant ads. that's still that you can't get out of that. You can't. They can ban you, but they still track you and they still know everything about you. You just can't use any of their service. This makes me rethink things a little bit because I am pretty much all in on the Google ecosystem. With I've had a Gmail account since it was in beta, which I know means like 5 years ago, but I'm talking like you needed an invite back in like 2003. So that's how long I've had my Gmail account. And I've got, I have an Android device, so I have stuff that I've bought on Google Play. I have, I don't actually keep my photos on Google. Like, that's the one thing I use Dropbox for photos. But I do use Google Docs for things. When I have, like, domains and stuff, I actually use the Google App Suite. Like, Vogue Network's running on the Google App Suite. So we don't use that much of it. We use the email, and that's about it. That's the only part we use. But it now kind of makes me wonder, like, how much of that is good for me to do, because if somebody decides that I have violated the TOS on YouTube and enough people report and the bot says, yeah, you violated the TOS with that video of that Picross solution that you put up on your YouTube channel, then I lose, almost 20 years worth of email and 20 years worth of contacts and 20 years worth of some files. Tiger Claw says if you have an Android phone, you could also use Google to sync your contacts. Losing that would be a problem too. Yeah, no, I do use the Google contact sync and everything, so that's how I keep all my contacts. It's very convenient, but now it's scary. Like, I can understand if you were a jerk in a YouTube comment. I can understand getting rid of your access to YouTube. I don't think they should be able to get rid of your access to Google Play Store or your email for being a jerk in a YouTube comment, because you absolutely should be banned from YouTube if you're a jerk in a YouTube comment. I'm fully okay with that. But this is what I worry about with Oculus, because the Oculus Quest 2 is an amazing device, but it requires a Facebook account in good standing to use it. And so if something happens to your Facebook account, you lose access to everything on the Oculus Quest 2. You can no longer use the Oculus Quest 2. Anything you've bought, you do not have access to. You lose everything. And it's not because of anything you did in the Oculus ecosystem. It's all because of the Facebook ecosystem. And that's why I still don't have an Oculus Quest 2 when everybody else is using it now. Like, I know so many friends that have it now. They're most likely not going to get their Facebook account banned. So, they're not worried about it. It's a wonderful piece of hardware. It's just, I don't like having it tied to my Facebook account. SJ Winner Matt says, unfortunately, our issue is that the corporate decided, so we're forever beholden to Google. I mean, that goes hand in hand with Oculus. Troll someone or being a jerk in Facebook and lose access to your Oculus. Someone could put in a fake claim on you in Facebook to be petty, and you could lose access to your Oculus device. Tiger Claw says you could say the same with Microsoft. There's a lot of things that are tied to Microsoft, such as email, your Xbox Live account, and all that stuff. And that is true. I actually don't have my email and I don't have a Microsoft email account. So, like, really, all my Microsoft stuff is Xbox Live plus some developer stuff I do for work on the Visual Studio Code Marketplace is through my Xbox, through my Microsoft account. This is where I think some kind of regulation needs to come in. And I hate to say, I'm going to be that guy and say the government regulation needs to come in on this somehow, because the company is not going to do the corporation's not going to do what they need to do to make this right for the consumer. And so either we need to break it up or we need to federally mandate that you can't restrict access to an unrelated portion of your business if you ban someone from a specific portion. S. Jaron Matt says that Bobby and Rob had to jump through a bunch of hoops just to remove their credit cards when they got that FIFA hack years ago. I actually didn't have to jump through hoops. I just let that credit card expire, and I never updated it. That's how I got around it. That was the hoop that I jumped through. And now I don't have my credit card linked to any of my console gaming accounts. Tech Class, can the FCC do something about it? Possibly, but I'd rather it be able to stick more, because the thing with the FCC is we have learned that whenever somebody new comes in charge, they can just arbitrarily change the rules. And we have seen that in the past, you know, eight and 12 years, that, you know, it really depends on the whim of who's in the charge of the FCC at the time. And if they decide that they want to get rid of it, then they can get rid of it. And I'd rather see it be something more that, like, our elected officials are beholden to, rather than at the whims of who is in charge of the FCC. Questbrush says it's funny, or maybe not so funny, that in cyberpunk fiction, the genre cyberpunk, like Shadowrun's tabletop from the 90s, envision people losing everything in life if they were deleted from the system. We're there. Because if you don't exist on Google, then you might as well not exist, which can be a good thing for some people. Because, you know, like even job searches, the first one of the if you're applying for a job, one of the first things they'll do is they'll Google you. They'll see what comes up on Google, and whatever Google says about you is what you are. And Tigerclaw says cloud storage comes with many risks. Yes. So, but not, unfortunately, like not everybody is able to set up their own cloud storage solution, because really cloud computing is just all what the cloud is. It's somebody else's computer. We're using, you know, if you're using Google stuff, you're using Google's computer. That's the cloud. You can have your own cloud storage solution in your home. In fact, I actually have cloud storage, like I'm pointing to like a desk, but it's on the other side of this desk is a cloud storage solution. So I actually back up my files there, and it's on my network. Any device on my network can access it, but nobody outside my network. But that's where I back up things. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the technical know-how or the desire to set up their own cloud storage in their house. But if you do, I would suggest doing it. I would really suggest doing it. You know, not everybody has the ability to set up their own mail server in their house. It is absolutely possible. You can do it with free tools as long as you have the hardware for it. But you put, you know, put Linux on it. You put up a mail domain and you get a, you know, static IP from your ISP. And you set the MX records for your domain and you can have all your mail routed through your own personal computer that you have in your house. But that takes a lot of technical knowledge. And it's so much easier just to say, hey, Google, this is these are the MX records for my domain. Create me Gmail for this domain. And that's so much easier. And this is somebody who has set up mail servers using FreeBSD, actually, not Linux, but it's close enough. As Jared Matt says, if we ever get a house, I might look into that. A lot of people, like when they buy a house, yeah, one of the closets is usually it's a server rack where people will put their, you know, NAS solutions, which is the cloud storage, or put in, a mail server, or put in a route, you know, a gateway that, you know, filters traffic, because you can have hardware firewalls that stop a lot of ads from coming in. You can do a lot of that stuff, and that takes space and know-how and some money. Fifth Dream says, let's all go back to Hotmail. Well, there's no such thing as Hotmail. It's Outlook.com, and that's owned by Microsoft. So we really shouldn't. Hotmail for everyone, says Questbuster. No, we shouldn't do that. So here's the thing that's going to suck about this is that it is impossible to get to talk to a human at Google about this kind of stuff. And the YouTube, like the Twitter accounts that respond, they have a very strict script. They do not have a way of helping you if your account has been banned. They can only help you recover an account that you've lost with, you know, but not if you're banned. But because this is a game developer that's developing for Google's platform that has recently gone third-party only, they have ceased all first-party development for this console platform, which is what they're calling it, even though it's streaming. He's going to get his case resolved. He's going to actually get to talk to a human. But he realizes the only reason is because he is the lead developer on a third-party game that is coming out on Google's system. And he made a big stink about it. Fifth Room says, no humans at Google. Google is Skynet confirmed. It is. There's a ton of great people, I'm sure, that work at Google, but none of them are in customer service. This is going to be a problem, and I hope that some lawmakers see this. I hope that they do something to make this right. And I don't trust the corporation to actually do it for us, unfortunately. And I hate saying I want more government regulation because that's like the last thing I want. But somebody has to step in. And if Google's not going to step in, somebody else needs to force them to step in. Esther Matt says, I worked across the street from Google's New York City office. They're there. They exist. And they have a nice cafeteria. So another thing that was going on in the news this week was about a company that's not in America. We're talking about a Polish company. Probably the largest software developer in Poland, I believe, is who they are. CD Projekt Red. Now, CD Projekt Red has had a bumpy road the past couple months. And it seemingly has gotten worse for them. The Verge reports that CD Projekt says that it has been hacked by attackers who have been able to access its internal network, encrypt some devices, and collect certain data from the Polish video game company. The Cyberpunk 2077 developer says it will not give in to the demands or negotiate with the attacker and does not believe that any personal data of players or service has been compromised. In a tweet disclosing the hack, the company shared the ransom note left by the hackers, who claimed to have accessed the source code for Cyberpunk 2077, The Witcher 3, Gwent, and an unreleased version of Witcher 3. The hackers are threatening to release the source code alongside internal legal, HR, and financial documents, and, it, quote, if we will not come to an agreement, unquote. So let me show you this, because CD Projekt Red did actually share the ransom note. And I think it's interesting to look at this and how this actually looks. So this is the note. It says, "Hello, CD Projekt," with a whole bunch of exclamation points around it. "You have been epically pwned." Yes, P-W-N-E-D. "I'm old, so that makes sense to me. However, I am not exactly sure how many younger people use the term pwned." Like, I think that's kind of a 2010s or 2000s or a 2010s term at most. But it's kind of like, you know, hacksaws, hack the planet, thing. Like, Orgewright says people still say pwned. Okay, well, I mean, it seems a little bit old to me. Or he actually asked, people still say pwned. That's my point, Orange Wright. He added a question mark on the next line. So I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't think so. I think that's kind of a term that my generation would say. Because I'm 29, but I'm not. I'm a little old. There's a couple pluses after the 29. But I don't say it, and I don't think it's a term that's currently in the current younger generation that would do something like this. So it says that, and it says, "We have dumped full copies of the source codes from your Perforce server of Cyberpunk 2077, Witcher 3, Gwent, and the unreleased version of Witcher 3. So to explain one of the terms in there, because you're probably like, what's a Perforce server? So I actually know what Perforce server is. A Perforce server, it is a source code repository. It's open, like, not open source, but its analogy that you've probably heard of is something like GitHub. However, Perforce has its own, it's very enterprise level. It's very, compared to something like Git and GitHub, it's a lot more unwieldy to use. But it is a way to be able to have multiple people work on the same code base and then have their code reviewed before it gets put in with the rest of the code, and tracking changes and all that stuff. So not only does the Perforce server have the current version of the code, it also has the previous versions of the code that may have gotten fixed or changed or something like that. So that's what a Perforce server is. Its closest analogy is GitHub. So there we go. "We have also dumped all your documents relating to accounting, administration, legal, HR, investor relations, and more. Also, we have encrypted all your servers, but we understand that you most likely recover from backups. Yes, they most likely have a disaster recovery plan. Anything that was encrypted, they probably were like, okay, we'll just go back to the last backup or to their Perforce server, which keeps backups. If we will not come to an agreement, then your source codes will be sold or leaked online and your documents will be sent to our contacts in gaming journalism. Your public image will go down the shitter even more, and people will see how shitty your company functions. Investors will lose trust in your company, and the stock will dive even lower. You have 48 hours to contact us. So that is what that is the ransom domain ransom demand that they sent out, and that was posted by CD Projekt. In its statement, CD Projekt says that it has secured its IT infrastructure and has been restoring its data from intact backups. It says it has informed the relevant authorities as well as IT forensic specialists. The attack follows the developer's troubled launch of Cyberpunk 2077. The game released with numerous bugs and performance issues on PC and was almost unplayable on older consoles. It was unplayable. Sony subsequently pulled the game from the PlayStation Store and offered refunds to players, while Microsoft is also offering refunds. CD Projekt has been subjected to intense criticism for releasing the game in what critics claim is an unfinished state. The company has vowed to address Cyberpunk 2077's performance issues with a series of patches. It is now facing a lawsuit from investors who claim that they were misled about the game's performance prior to release. The developer has also been criticized over reports that its employees were forced to work long hours in the months leading up to the game's release. That was the beginning of the week. Midway through the week, midway through, because that was on the 9th, 2 days later, on the 11th, The Verge reports that hackers have reportedly sold the game's source code and other information stolen from Cyberpunk 2077 and The Witcher 3 studio CD Projekt Red. Cybersecurity firm Kayla released screenshots of a post of the hacking forum exploit allegedly posted by the attackers, saying that they've received an offer for the data from outside the forum. They added that they ended the auction at the request of the buyer. Cybersecurity Twitter account VX Underground subsequently confirmed that the auction had closed. On Tuesday, CD Projekt Red disclosed that it had been a victim of the ransomware attack in which hackers had collected certain data from the company. It posted a ransom note from the hackers, which, like I said, we have shown. It says pwned, in which they claim to have access to the source code from the studio's most popular games, as well as internal legal, HR, and financial documents. CD Projekt Red said it would not give in to the demands or negotiate with the hackers, even if that meant the stolen data would be circulating online. It is not known who purchased the data or how much it was sold for. However, the auction was thought to have included source code for Thornbreaker, The Witcher Tales spinoff, The Witcher 3, a race-traced version of The Witcher 3, Cyberpunk 2077, and copies of the company's internal documents. That's according to screenshots posted by the VX Underground Twitter. The auction followed a leak of the source code for CD Projekt Red's virtual card game Gwent, which was verified by Vice. Kayla previously reported that the starting price of the auction was $1 million, with a buy-it-now price of $7 million. Those terms were subsequently verified by VX Underground. Although the hackers have not been officially named, one security researcher told Wired he believed it to be involved the use of the Hello Kitty ransomware, which had also been used to hack a Brazilian power company called CEMIG. A spokesperson from CD Projekt Red did not immediately return any comment. However, earlier this week, the company told Vice it is still actively investigating the incident. As Sharon Matt says, transactions in Dogecoins. Maybe, maybe not. So here's what I'm wondering. Are we sure yet, this is tinfoil hat, are we sure yet that this actually happened? Because this could be a really good way to get some feel-good vibes by claiming to be hacked. And then, you know, and then it got sold, and then we never see the stuff again. However, if you know, they are working with the authorities and proper authorities, and you know, lying to the authorities is kind of worse than trying to garner goodwill. There's either that or this really did happen, but CD Projekt Red brought back, or a shell company of CD Projekt Red bought back, and because part of the terms of this deal was that they were not to distribute it or sell it again. Even though it's digital stuff, you know, you don't lose something when you give away a digital copy of something. could they have bought it back? And that's why this ended so much, because they're making billions of dollars off of Cyberpunk, even in the state that it's in. What's 7 million? Questbrothers says, I've heard that speculation too. It is absolutely speculation, because if they are like working with relevant authorities that are actually like actual authorities, then lying to them is worse than this happening at all. Fifth Dream says, maybe we'll get some great mods and unofficial patches out of it. And that's one of the things. Like, but would someone really want to pay $7 million just to be able to make great mods for Cyberpunk 2077? The bigger thing that people are worried about, I think, is because Gwent is an online multiplayer title, then this is where the cheats come in. It's different when it's a single-player game, you know, like The Witcher or Cyberpunk, which are single-player experiences. That's different. But if it's, an online multiplayer game like Gwent, I can see that's where they're probably worried about the security underneath. As also for the source code, like, why is the source code important? There probably are proprietary technologies they've built in the source code to be able to do certain things. And they don't want that. That's trade secret. They don't want that getting out. Now it's out because they might not have patented these things. So they can't hold the patent on it. But, you know, people could see how they did things. And that's why they probably don't want the source code out there. Fistream asks, is Gwent even up anymore? I thought they took it down. And the quest person says, it is. It's not super popular, but people still play. And that you might be thinking of Artifact, which is Valve's card game, which did get taken down. Artifact's gone. Gwent's still up. And as Jeremy says, or it could be used by people looking to build exploits to infiltrate systems in PC using the game's own source code. So there are a lot of implications, and not all of it is good. Like, not all of it is, oh, you know, now hackers can fix the game. Most hackers are not going to be using the source code to fix the game. They're going to be using the source code to break it to get to you and get your stuff. That's why this is kind of worrisome. And especially if they still have The Witcher 3 source code and they're working on a new ray trace version of The Witcher 3. This is kind of scary for them. So we'll see. Like, we'll see what happens now after somebody bought the code. The jury is still out on if this even happened at all, and if it's not just a goodwill gesture trying to get people to like them again, because CD Projekt Red seemed like they could do no wrong about a year ago. Everybody loved them. They had all these great, you know, consumer-friendly policies with GOG and their DRM policy, and they, you know, did right with The Witcher, Witcher 3 and its DLCs and stuff, and everybody loved them, and that all came crashing down in December. And, you know, now as this thing says, you know, your image will go down the shitter. And, you know, I hate it for the people that work there. I hate it for the rank and file developers that may have been affected by this, because who knows, like, if their documents got leaked, because if it's HR documents, that has personal information on the employees, especially employees that maybe don't work there anymore, that don't need to get caught up in all this. ZenMonkey11 says, think once it's out, they can't put it back. See, here's the thing. It hasn't been released yet. Like, none of this stuff's been released. This group had it. They had it, and they were selling it. They sold it, and if that person never opts to release it, and the original group that sold it doesn't opt to release it, it's not out. And SJ1Matt says, if a million players have the game, and they have the source code and can exploit it, that's millions of computers you can get into. I realize now I probably should have used the voice. I should have been like,
you have been epically pwned.
I really should have used that voice when I was reading this, and I didn't. So that's a fail for me. I probably should have done that. That would have been better. Maybe I can. I mean, should I do it? I'm going to ask chat, and I apologize for the podcast audience. You may have to hear. Should I read the entire note again with that voice? Is that something I should actually do? Because, like, this is the last story, and I'm actually ahead on time, so I've got some time to goof off. I'm going to talk a little bit about the game itself as well after this, you know, because I actually finished, or I actually rolled credits on Cyberpunk 2077 this week. Like, I actually, like, I didn't get all the endings, but I did roll credits, so I'll talk a little bit about the game, because I was playing on Xbox Series X and it ran pretty much fine. So I don't really have many complaints about it. Dark Tetsuya says, yes, I should read this in the entire thing. So maybe we should do this. So let's do this. Unfortunately, I can't make red lights or anything. So we're gonna do this. So why not? So ladies and gentlemen, a dramatic reading of the ransom note sent to CD Projekt Red when they got the Hello Kitty ransomware attack.
Hello, CD Projekt. You have been epically pwned. We have dumped full copies of the source code from your Perfor server for Cyberpunk 2077, The Witcher 3, Gwent, and the unreleased version of The Witcher 3. We have also dumped all your documents relating to accounting, administration, legal, HR, investor relations, and more. Also, we have encrypted all of your servers, but we understand that you can most likely recover from backups. If we will not come to an agreement, then your source codes will be sold and leaked online, and your documents will be sent to our contacts in gaming journalism! Your public image will go down the shitter even more, and people will see how shitty your company functions. Investors will lose trust in your company, and the stock will dive even lower! You have 48 hours to contact us.
Was that good? Did I do good? I like this toy. I don't get to use the toy that much on here because I try to be serious. I am not happy that CD Projekt Red got hacked like this, if they did get hacked. I'm not happy that the developers have to deal with this, the rank and file developers, but that was fun. That was serious business. Questmaster says, part of me imagines it ended with
Sunday.
So we are going to take actually a quick music break, which means like I'm actually doing good enough on time here that if somebody wants to call in and talk about something on the other side of the music break, if nobody calls in, I'll talk about Cyberpunk 2077, the game itself. But on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, you can hop into the Green Room voice chat channel and I'll see you and we can talk about something. Talk anything going on in games. If you've been playing a game that I haven't, or want to talk about some, or want to talk about this stuff, or want to talk about Cyberpunk, if you've also been playing it like I have, we can do that. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Vasta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
You're participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
That's right. That's me. I'm here. Thank you so much for that. That was Jennifer Hale. Back in like a MomoCon, like many years ago, I got her to do a bumper. I actually interviewed her. We talked about Mass Effect and Star Wars: The Old Republic because she was one of the voices in that, and other stuff. So she was lovely to be around. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for telling everybody that this is your favorite podcast on the Citadel. Even though I never really played Mass Effect, but I might soon. I don't know. Maybe this new the Legendary Edition might get me to try it. Maybe we'll see. A couple of things I want to mention. We do have the green room open if anybody wants to jump in. Right now, nobody's in there, but vognetwork.com/discord, jump into the green room voice chat channel. We've changed a couple things on the Twitch channel for those that listen live. We actually now have what's called we use the channel point system, and we actually have a community target where basically you can put in points every time we stream, which I believe we're going to find out if that means once during my stream and then once during OLR. So you should be able to do this twice a night, but we're not sure. I'm not sure how that works yet. But there is going to be, if we pull like 100,000 points, and you can only do 2,000 at a time. And some of our people, like I have like 70,000 points or something based on like just watching. You basically get points as you watch Twitch streams logged in. I have a whole bunch of like VHS tapes of like old gaming stuff, like promos. And I even have like home videos I took at E3. So like using a home movie camera of like E3 97, 98, 99, stuff like that. And if we get enough points contributed to the goal, then I'll hook up a VCR to my capture card. And we will watch some of those together. and experience some of those. So it's not going to be like just home movies, but I've got like some old, like I've got like a Sega Saturn VHS tape that's like a, it's promoting the Saturn. I found like a Sony PlayStation or a Sony tape that wasn't even just PlayStation. I think it even had like some Super Nintendo stuff that they were making. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I have no clue what's gonna be on there, and we'll basically watch it together. I'll be here commentating over it and stuff, but we'll do it here on the VOG stream. We have like 30 days to do it, so because like there are people like I alone could get there. I'm like, yes, I could too. Unfortunately, the max, and Twitch enforces the max, is 2,000. Also, there is a we added a new. A new reward that you can redeem, which essentially will allow you to get a shout out at the end of the show. Because so if you're kind of new to the show, you didn't listen to the show back when it was on internet radio back in 2018, before 2018, so from 2005 to 2018, at the end of the show I would actually read the names of all the chatters that were in the chat room. I can't really do that on Twitch because I don't have an accurate count, and also like a third of them are bots anyway, and we don't want to read them. So you can actually now spend channel points. I think it's like 5,000 channel points. So you can't do this all the time unless you have like 100,000 sped up put in. You can actually put something in and even have a message read. And then when I go through at the end where I used to read the chatters, and now where I read here's who's donated bits and subscribed, I will also read those shout outs. And I believe OLR will also do the same thing at the end of their show. Theirs is not during the podcast. It's in the live only post show. I actually do mine in the podcast. So feel free to use those. People have like hundreds of thousands of channel points because you get like 200 an hour while you're watching, or 400 an hour if you're subscribed to our channel. It gives you a way to spend some of them. And if you have ideas on how on things we can make to spend, not the same ones that you get on the Twitch channels. Because like there's some that's like hydrate yourself, and every time you redeem it, somebody has to go and drink from it. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be like
spend the next 2 minutes using a voice filter.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to do any of that stuff because that's kind of dumb. But if you have any dramatic readings of, you know, ransom notes or something, we can do that. We don't need to put channel points on that because that was kind of fun. But, we're doing some of that stuff, and we'd like to do some more with that, especially because people have so many points sitting around right now. I did finish Cyberpunk 2077 this week. I got to see three of the endings, but I really didn't. I only saw two of the endings. There's like five endings, five distinct ending paths. And one of the ending paths has two different endings, so I've seen both endings of that path and then another one of the other paths. And I finished it in about 40 hours. That's how long it took. And that was with me kind of doing a slow burn. I didn't do every side quest. I didn't do everything. And I was playing on story mode, so that's why I was able to do it. But it was fine. I mean, I was getting into it. I did finally, you know, I got the, you know, dopamine drip of, you know, wanting to, perfect the build, get more levels. Like, I had gotten the cycle in my head. So I was like, okay, I can't wait to go back down to go play it a little bit more and stuff. But now I've rolled credits a couple times, and I'm ready to send it back to Gamefly because I only rented it from Gamefly. So I could go send it back and get a different game now. I enjoyed it, and like I said, it crashed once the entire 40 hours. And it was kind of a weird crash. I had used there's a cyberware that you can like shoot a missile out of your wrist. I used that and then immediately switched to a sniper rifle, and when I switched to the sniper rifle to follow up on it, that's when the game crashed. That's the only time it crashed. I was playing on an Xbox Series X. There were a couple T poses and stuff like that, but that was it. Like, it wasn't that buggy for me. That's not to say it's not buggy for other people, but I had a relatively bug-free experience, and it was enjoyable. There's a part of me that wants to go back and, like, play with a female V, because I was a male V. But I'm like, I'm going to build a new computer, and at some point, I'm going to buy Cyberpunk 2077 on PC in probably like a year or two, and that's when I'll do it and play through it again with a PC. And so that's probably what I'm going to wind up doing. But hey, Persona 5 Strikers comes out this week, so that's going to be my next 50-hour game that I'm hopefully going to be playing. Dark Tessia says, 2077 might be my favorite game I've played of this generation. My dream game's always been epic open-world Shadowrun, but this is close enough. And when you say this generation, I've got to ask, do you mean the Xbox One, PlayStation 4 generation, or are you talking about the Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5 generation? Because we're, like, at that weird point where it's, like, I played it in the Xbox Series X generation. You might have played it in the Xbox One generation. And so it's kind of like I got to kind of figure out. Yeah, PS4, Xbox One is what he just clarified. So, yeah. And I mean, I'm glad that it worked for you. I'm glad that it worked out because I know a lot of other people have had issues. And I don't know how it would have run if I was still playing on my Xbox One X. I have not pulled out my Xbox One X to find out because right now it's not hooked up to anything right now. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see what's going on there. And there was a question that's asked that's probably what we're going to be talking about tonight, which has nothing to do with anything we've talked about already tonight. But we like to check in with them and see what's going on. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. So, I gotta ask, Loki's game's out now? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, right? It really happened. Loki released a game on Steam, of all things, and itch.io. So, like, it's something you can go purchase for yourself. And obviously, Loki's a good friend of mine, and the Pixel Poops thing's been a long-running joke on OLR for years. So, I encourage everyone to buy it and, show Loki a little love. And YYR, too, with the free-to-play version that's on Steam. I actually checked out the Commodore 64 version he did, too, which was, like, $2. And it's fun.
So here's what I need you to do. You need to help me out here for a second.
Okay.
I need you to vamp probably about Pixel Poops because I'm going to go off cam for just, like, 30 seconds or so. So if you can do that for me.
Okay, sounds good.
You can talk about Pixel Poops, tell people where it's located and like a little bit of the backstory, because that's more of an OLR thing. I haven't talked about it that much.
So sure. If there's folks out there that listen to your show that don't happen to listen to Orange Lounge Radio, then we have a long-running joke of like dream games that we want to see get published. And there's like actually like an Orange Lounge Radio wiki that has a lot of these published. And one of the dream games that came up was something that Dark Sakura had just said off the cusp in one episode. And she said that there should be a game called Pixel, and you'd have to use the beeper on me here because the original word started with the letter S. But obviously to actually make this game, which then one of our longtime listeners and indie game developer YYR actually did. And YYR has some great other indie games under his belt. If this, the name of this joke game turns you off, although I promise you the gameplay is actually really fun, go check out one of his other games. Super Multitasking is on Steam, and it's great. It's like WarioWare times four. It's amazing. So got to show him a little love. The safe for work version that YYR made is called Pixel Poops. And there was a version of this on the Vita that you obviously can no longer get because that kind of indie component of the store went away. So YYR ended up re-releasing Pixel Poops on Steam. And if you don't know what it is, it's very inspired by old Atari 2600 games. And basically you have joggers that are running through the park, and to stop them from getting to the other end of the park, you have to, well, it's in the name.
Yep.
And if you need to refill your meter, there's a taco stand you can do that at. So there's the Atari 2600 version is free on Steam. If you want to pay $2, I think it is. Please don't quote me on these numbers because I can't remember off the top of my head. But $2 will get you the Commodore 64 version and a royalty-free soundtrack of the 2600 version. And then Loki just released the I think it's going to be 10 normally, but it's on sale. Mm-hmm. Maybe 9, but it's on sale right now for like 8, the NES version. So yep. Loki, one of our hosts at Orange Lounge Radio, made a sequel to the game that has YYR's blessing called Pixel Poops Number 2, and it's an NES game. And it's something that he is going to actually put out a physical version of at some point. But you can actually play the game on Steam right now. And again, I really would encourage you to. It's a fun game. So I probably vamped for like 2 minutes. Sorry,
that's
Bobby.
Fine, because it took me a while because I was trying to find her. But this on cam, this is my cat Pixel, who is brown. She poops. And, you know, she, which is good because she's like 19 and a half years old.
That's how you know she's healthy. Yep.
Yep. So she was meowing outside the door. And I'm like, okay, so she's awake. But when I opened the door, she was not outside my door anymore, so I had to go run through the house to try to find her and bring her in here because I figured, you know, everybody likes to see your cats, and so yeah. I opened the door, and so now she's in. Like, if I left the door open, she would, like, be jumping in my lap, like, the entire show, and that would be kind of distracting. But I did pick up, I didn't let YYR send me any beta stuff. I paid for everything. Also, Loki's game is available on itch.io as well, so you don't have to get it on Steam. It is on itch.io for the same price.
Yeah. And I do want to point out with the codes that Aaron gave away, so because I got a code too, but that was only for the base game, basically, and the extended modes DLC. Mm-hmm. So actually, I had to buy the Commodore 64 version and Loki's NES version, which I'm more than happy to do.
Yes.
But just to be clear, they didn't give... They didn't give it all away to our listeners, which is fine. I think it's worth money.
Yeah. I will say there's still no Pixel Poops category on Twitch. I'm like, he's got to get on that. Somebody's got to get on that.
I think it's on Twitch at this point because I think they updated the giant bomb database, which is kind of like what you have to update.
They don't use giant bomb anymore. They don't use giant bomb anymore. They moved to IGDB. The International Game Database, because Twitch bought IGDB. So now you have to get it added to IGDB, which you log in with a Twitch account. Yeah.
I can't tell you where that's at. That's kind of on YYR and Loki to take care of, but I'm sure they're aware. I'm sure they're well aware.
Yeah. So, because I was like, because people have started to stream it on Twitch, even people that we don't know. Like, because it got
really
hit. It got hit as like it's a free game now on Steam. It's like a Russian site has posted videos of it because they show all the free to play games on Steam. And so that's the thing. It's like it kind of sucks that like the category wasn't there because like your first week is when you get the most buzz.
Yeah.
So Tyclaus, is that the same people that made IMDb? No, it was an independent group that Twitch bought. So Amazon owns it now. So, no, it's just similar naming. But I will say one thing that I did see with if you're trying to use on Steam, and I learned this the hard way, and I think it's either the way I've got things set up or how the game's set up, is that if you try to play either the Commodore 64 version or the NES version by hitting the play button on Steam, I could not get it to see my game controller. It was not allowing – like, I could not set up – my Xbox One controller to work with the FCE UX emulator because that's what it's doing for the NES or for Vice. I could not actually get that to work. However, if I just loaded the emulators directly from the Steam apps folder, I was able to see the Xbox One just fine and it was all working. And I think what's happening is that Steam has their own gamepad support that basically takes the Xbox One gamepad and turns it into a Steam thing, which is how the actual Pixel Poops, the main game, works, but it's incompatible with FCE UX and with Vice. So you'll just need to run it directly. But I did, like, I actually took the, because when you buy it, you get the ROMs. So you can load up in your favorite emulator. You just got to make sure that it's FCE UX for the Nintendo one. But I took the D64 file and put it on my C64 Maxi and played it with the real joystick and stuff. And that was cool. Also realized on the Commodore 64 version, he designed it for the NTSC Commodore 64, which is 60 hertz or 60 frames a second. The PAL Commodore 64, which is what your like a brand new Vice installation, what it defaults to, is at 50 hertz. So the music drags a little bit. It's not as upbeat. It plays a little bit differently.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So, because I remember I loaded it, like, I have my own installation of Vice for some other things that I just, like, copied the D64 into. And I'm like, this is a lot slower than if I'm trying to play it in the browser. But yeah, and Pixelbox says, thanks for the tip. I had the same issue, just ended playing up with keyboard. I actually like added a post to the Steam forum that said, here's how you get around it. And I think like there might be a way YYR could say, if you're loading the DLC, don't use Steam controller support. And if I think if you if he disables the Steam controller support on the DLC loading, then it might work fine. But I'm also not a Steam developer. I don't know. I've never had to do this stuff. So.
Yeah, tough to know. I've just been using the keyboard because it's easier for me to mash the space bar. I'm sure plenty want to use the controller, so I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Pro tip on Pixel Poops number 2. And if Loki's listening, he's going to be like, I knew somebody would find this. You can poop in Pixel Poops number 2 on every frame. Which is great, because in FCE UX, you can assign a turbo button to one of the face buttons, which means it only takes you 4 frames to get a full poop.
Wow.
So that makes it really easy. That's Bobby Blackwolf mode. Because I can fill up the whole screen pretty easily.
My understanding, too, is that you know Loki loves cheat codes. Mm-hmm. And he's very upset that a lot of new games don't put cheat codes in their game. Mm-hmm. So just saying.
Yeah. No, I saw that and I'm like, ooh, you know, because FCE UX actually has a TAS editor. And I'm like, do I want to make a TAS tool assisted speedrun of Pixel Poops? Because you can actually kind of speedrun it, because the stages, essentially the way he did Pixel Poops number 2, is that you only have to like catch like 11 joggers or 15 joggers or whatever in a stage. I don't remember the exact number at the beginning. But if you know where they're going to spawn, you can stop them as quick as you can.
Yeah.
And so you have to if you memorize their spawn points and you manipulate whatever RNG that you need to manipulate, I don't know what he did with that, you can probably do a speed run of the game and, you know, try to get through all the stages. And it's basically just knowing exactly where everybody, where all the joggers spawn. Or the zombies when you get to the graveyard level. I did get to the graveyard level.
Loki is in chat saying it's random, and Pixel Pacas is saying that he's thinking of speedrunning it. So we've really hit like that gold tier goal, right? Loki released a game that you can buy on Steam. Like, it really doesn't get much better than this. Mm-hmm. But if we have to have that stretch goal, that platinum goal, mm-hmm. now we got to get Pixel Poops in. Sometimes I don't want to say awesome games done quick, because I feel like that's going to be almost impossible mountain, but some type of speed running marathon.
Yeah.
We'll put it at that. Some type of official charity marathon.
Yeah. And I know Loki says, but it's random, but there's no clock in the NES. It's all based on when the NES was turned on. And so that's where all the RNG manipulation comes in. So if we figure out what frame to start the game and where it seeds, then there's a little bit that there's a little bit of manipulation that you can do, because there's no internal clock. And that's that's the fun part about it. So like a tool assisted speed run, it would always start the game at the exact same moment. And, you know, it would work the same every time, because that's how the random number generator actually works. No computer is truly random.
Right.
So other than Pixel Poops, and I still have Pixel right here. She's just like sitting here content, happy. She's just, you know, hi, I finally get to be, and she's like, the lights are bright. Why are the lights bright? I don't like the bright lights. What is Orange Lunch Radio going to be talking about tonight?
Well, we're going to talk about, you know, unfortunately, we're still in pandemic mode, and it doesn't look like it's going to go away any earlier than summer, if that. But we have some of our big gaming conventions that are kind of shifting to an online format. One of them being E3 has announced that they are going to go digital this year. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about a major Square series coming to PC. I can't remember if you touched on that earlier or not. We're going to talk about that as well. And a little bit of a follow up to the Google Stadia thing. We'll touch on the Terraria thing that you touched on as well, but kind of a further comment from Google that they're really trying to defeat this narrative of, you know, well, Stadia's dead. They kind of came swinging at that this week. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio with a lot more Pixel Poops is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
All right. So that is it for me. Me and my cat Pixel, who's still sitting here. She's not going to say anything. She doesn't say anything when she's actually like in my arms. She's only like cries when like she's sitting right next to me and she wants to be up here. But that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join the show and be part of it directly. You can follow me on Twitter at Bobby Black Wolf, or Facebook.com/Bobby Black Wolf, Instagram Bobby Black Wolf, Twitch Bobby Black Wolf. Over at our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you so much to people that that have subscribed or sent in bits during this. Fat Ninja DM gave out a community sub gift. So thank you so much for that. Tiger Claw resubscribed, as did Dark Soccer OLR and Zeba. And a lot of people contributed their channel points, which you don't have to pay any money to get. You just have to watch me show some VHS streams, you know, streams of VHS gaming tapes that I have in my vault that I've been going through. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hit this button, and Pixel's going to wonder what's going on when all the lights go off. It's my cat. Who she's not in Pixel Poops, even though she is brown and she poops, and you know, we'll just hang out anyway. Thanks so much. Congrats to YYR and Loki on their games. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. I'll see you next time. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.